Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. He came to be. He can be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the Word of God teaches us without doubt and without question. Well, I hope this finds you well, friend. I know that it finds you blessed. And I pray that our time together will be a blessing to you. Deb and I are both excited about the message and the music that the Lord has stirred our hearts too, and we pray, oh, how we pray that it'll be just a blessing to you, but it'll bring glory to God as well. Well, we're happy for that. Thank you all for tuning to tune in, for making that choice. And look, we never take that for granted. Debbie nor I ever take that for granted that you decide to invest some time with us today. And like a old evangelist, television evangelist, when they used to really preach the clear word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Willard Wilcox, I believe was his name. He said, look, every investment you make is an investment for a soul for an endless eternity. Now, he was talking about the gift that people sent to support the ministry that he did, and he did a good job, the best I remember. Well, friend, I hope that we feel our time together is an investment in eternity. Well, Debbie's got a song queued up. The title of it is He Knew, and friend, He does know. He knew what we needed, and He provided it in His Son. I've opened my Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and when Debbie's done with this beautiful song, I'll be back with the message from that passage.
From the beginning, the Father said to the Son, you must go and die for lost souls. He had in mind He would be crucified. The price was much too high.
You know, friend, he did. He knew from the beginning. He knew where he was coming. He knew why he was coming. And he knew who he was coming for. Debbie, thank you for that song. What a beautiful, beautiful job. We appreciate you. We love you more than words can say. Hey, folks, listen, I'm excited about the message. I want to be honest with you. I want to be truthful like just about every message, if not every message that yours truly tries to preach. It's way, way bigger than I have. Boy, I love the Word of God. I love the message of the Word of God. And I love trying to share it with people like you. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse 9. And the Word of God says this. He said, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He said, And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin, but this man." In verse 12, I like that, don't you? "But this man, on the other hand, in contrast to all of those other sacrifices offered by all of those other priests down through the centuries of time, this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us." I want to talk to you today, the Lord willing, by the grace of God, about this thought. A sacrifice that satisfies. A sacrifice that satisfied. Listen, I don't know about you, but I love the book of Hebrews. I remember when I was just a teenager, just a very young man before the Lord called me in the ministry, I used to be fascinated with the book of Hebrews. Oh, I tell you, I didn't know much about it. I couldn't explain many of the words. I didn't even know what the word oracle meant that you'll find in the book of Hebrews. But I'll tell you what, there was a spirit that drew this young man's heart to the book of Hebrews. I don't know about you, what you think about it, but I believe its message is amazing. And I believe, friend, listen, that we have many answers to why Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost as we look into this passage of Scripture that is before us today. The book of Hebrews is an amazing book. As I'm telling you, friend, it's written to the Hebrews. It's the epistle to the Hebrews. And I want you to know, I believe personally it is a dispensational book. I believe that it'll mean much to some people in the days that are yet to come, especially after the church has been taken away. And I want you to know it was a great book in the day that Paul wrote it, before the temple was destroyed, before Titus came into Jerusalem in 70 A.D. I believe in this epistle was written. I believe in the Apostle Paul. I believe it still stood. And I believe, friend, listen, it's important to know that stuff. I really do. But as we look at this passage that is before us, I want you to know something about this book before I do. When you begin to look at this book, you begin to see Jesus presented in many, many ways. And He'll be presented as better than. He'll be presented, for instance, like the Word of God teaches us, a better prophet, better than the Old Testament prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He has a better priesthood than the Aaronic priesthood did not continue that offered continual sacrifices. But he has a better priesthood made after the order of Melchizedek. All allowed him to offer a better sacrifice. Allowed him to offer or shed a better blood. Allowed him to offer a better covenant. Look, friend, this book, many ways, is about how Christ is better, how He is superior to the old things of the Old Testament. That first covenant, listen, that was the will of God, the plan of God, but never satisfied God, and never I was able to meet the needs of mankind. So today we're going to try to look into this little passage of Scripture that's greater than either one of us or all of us put together, and see if we can glean some blessings out of this very passage of Scripture. Now look, as we begin in chapter 10 of this great epistle, we'll find that Paul, as he often did through this book, is contrasting some things. He's actually contrasting the old from the new. He's actually contrasting the priesthood of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, from the priesthood of Christ, again, made after the order of Melchizedek, or made after an endless life. And oh, how important that is. We needed someone, friend, listen, that could do what man could not do. Oh, he was a man. The Bible tells us that he was, right here in verse 12. But this man, thank God. Can I tell you this morning, he's more than a man. He's more than a man. He's the God-man. He entered in this world into the stream of humanity through a virgin's womb. But let me tell you who entered. He was God. God who took upon himself the fashion of man, or the likeness of man, and the form of a servant, the fashion. Well, you read it out of the book of Philippians chapter 2. I don't want to take time to turn, but let me tell you what we've got in verses 9 and 10 in Christ, who did come. He's not a shadow, friend. But he's the real thing. Hey, listen, he's not made of a temporary stuff, but eternal stuff. Listen, the priesthood that preceded his, you know what? They offered hundreds and thousands of bulls and goats and gallons of blood. But this man, we'll find out that once in the end of the world, offered a sacrifice. I'll tell you, bless God that satisfied. Well, you say, who did it satisfy, preacher? Well, it satisfied God and man. It satisfied all the demands of God that His holiness and righteousness expected and demanded. And it meets all the needs of lost mankind and humanity, friend, that are willing to realize they're a sinner, recognize Christ as their Savior, receive Him by faith, and listen, trust in the work that He has done. But listen to what He said here in verses 9 and 10. He said, then said he, speaking of Christ, lo, I come in the volume of thy book to do thy will. He taketh away the first that he may establish the last. Do you know what it was for him to do that? Do you know what that meant for Jesus to be able, friend, to do that, to come to do the will of God? That meant that we'd have to leave the portals of glory, lay down his robes of glory, not, listen, his deity, but his robes of glory, enter into the stream of humanity through a virgin's womb, live sinless among us. Listen, friend, do a public ministry of 3.5 years for us, or to witness unto us. And then he would have to go, listen, friend, through the challenge of Gethsemane, where he wept, where he cried out with strong cries, and he was heard according to Hebrews, and he was delivered. Oh, a friend, what Jesus experienced that night in the darkness of Gethsemane, when Peter, James, and John slept, and when the other apostles that had just left the upper room, friend, where he had instituted the Lord's Supper and instituted the memorial of His death, life, death, burial, resurrection, and His coming again. Oh, friend, I'll tell you what an experience that was in that garden. But you know, friend, listen, after His strong cryings in the garden, after His praying, after will still His sweat become as great drops of blood, now do you know where He had to go? He had to go to Gabbatha. He had to go, listen, friend, before Pilate and the others, aware that He was mutilated, where He was abused, where He was mocked and scoffed at. Oh, listen, when they got done with Him at the Gabbatha, when they got done with Him before the soldiers that planted a crown of thorns and put it on His head, took a reed and smote Him with it, plucked his beard out, spat upon him, got before him and mocked him and jeered him and scorned him and scourged him. He had to go to Golgotha. Do you know what happened at Golgotha? He suffered there. He bled there and he died. Oh, he was mocked at that place by the very malefactors that were crucified with him, one on the left and on the right. I listened, friend, to the Pharisees and those that were in the religious elite of that day. I challenged him to come down. Oh, listen, friend, I want you to know they did awful things, said awful things to our Lord and to our Savior, but it was at Calvary where he was crucified, at Golgotha, friend, how that he suffered, bled, and died for me and you, but it wasn't the end. No, he had to go to the grave. He had to go to a borrowed tomb. Isn't that amazing? He had to go to a borrowed tomb, but friend, listen, thank God, 3 days later, he come up out from among the dead. He arose from that grave that even had been sealed with the seal of Rome, that seal of power and might of man in that day. Oh, listen, friend, and though he went to the grave, 3 days later he came out of it, how victorious, for the glory of God. And 40 days later, you know what he did? He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Oh, and you know what he did when he got there? Hey, listen, he sat down. Hey, he sat down. You say, why? Because his work was done. He entered into the Holy of Holies, not made with hands. You know what he was? He was a sinner sacrifice. He died for me. He died for you. And listen to what he said in verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ. I like this once and for all. Can I tell you, friend? He's a sacrifice that satisfies. He satisfied the demands of holy God, satisfied the claims of the law, satisfied the needs of man. And in that one sacrifice, he brought to the end forever those sacrifices of the Old Testament that could never take away sin, that could never meet the desire of Almighty God. He planned them. He ordained them. He required them. But they never have made the comers thereunto perfect. They never satisfied the needs and the demands of a holy God. How about this? A substitute that died for the sinner at Calvary one day, arose to enter into glory, sat down. Friend, listen, because his work was done. Look at verses 11 and following. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft time the same sacrifices, can never take away sin. That's referring back to the Aaronic priesthood. The priest, the sacrificial law of the first covenant of the Old Testament. Listen, they were pictures. This first verse of chapter 10 says that they were shadows of good things to come. But look what it says, but in verse 12. But listen, and he said, well, let me go on. Let me pick it up again in verse 11. Every priest standeth daily ministry, and oft times offering the same sacrifices, can never take away sin. But this man, listen to this, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, is forever set down on the right hand of God. Thank God, friend, listen. It was a one sacrifice and done deal. Hey, listen, friend. Jesus was the right sacrifice. He offered the right sacrifice. It was according to the will of God. It was according to the Word of God. It was according to the plan of God. And it had to be God's only begotten Son. You know what he did? He offered that one sacrifice for all men. And listen to what goes on to say in verse 13 and 14. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Oh, listen to verse 14. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now listen, friend, this sanctification in these verses that Paul was talking about is not progressive sanctification. No, no. It's talking about positional sanctification. Can I tell you through the offering that he made, through the life that he lived, through the death that he died. You know what he did? He once perfected us. He once, listen, friend, made a way for God to give us, listen, positional sanctification. Hey, listen, he set us apart. He made us holy because we're in Christ, and because Christ is all that I'm not and all that I need. When God sees me in Christ, he doesn't see me, but he sees his Son. And all, friend, listen, before Christ, I was incomplete. But in Christ, listen, you know what I am? I'm complete in him. I'm perfected forever. Thank God. And so can you be, sinner friend. So can you be made full. So can you be made whole. So can you be satisfied. So can you find the right standing with God. That'll never change. Time will never change it. Testing will never change it. Temptation will never change it. Hey, listen, the devil nor the demons can change it. Thank God, listen, Christ once and forever I'm perfected them that are sanctified. And how wonderful that is today. Listen, listen, he was a sinner's substitute. He was the Son's sacrifice. And there's something that comes along after this that lets us know, friend, that it's real. Listen to what he goes on to say in the following verses. I'm going to pick it back up in verse 14 now, just to get the thought. For by one offering, listen, it was one and done for him. You read the book of Hebrews and you'll find phrases like once for all or one sacrifice forever. But he said by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he goes on to say, wherefore how the Holy Ghost also is a witness. Oh, I wish I had time to read the remainder of the verses in this chapter. I wish I had time to tell you more. And as I look at the clock, I may be able to say a few other things. But oh, listen, friend, not only in Christ do we have the sinner substitute, not only do we have the Son's sacrifice, but we have the witness, the Spirit seal. Aren't you glad to know that? Hey, friend, I'm glad to know that I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved by the sacrifice of Christ. And I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, isn't that wonderful, friend? And you know what that Spirit does within us? It witnesses to us. The Bible said the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit and that we are the sons of God. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, the Word of God says this in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record of the Son of God. But listen, friend, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you repented of your sin? Have you called upon him and been saved by grace through faith? You know what happens then? You're sealed with the Spirit. You're given a down payment, which is the Word of God saying the earnest of the Spirit. It is a promise, friend, that God will fulfill His Word. God will keep His promises to us. And listen, that which we have got in part down here, we're going to get the whole thing over there. These things John said, continuing in verse 13, I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm thankful, friend, listen, for the Spirit seal, aren't you? I'm thankful for the internal witness that He gives to me and gives to you. I'm glad for that witness that satisfies. I'm glad for that witness that seals. I'm glad for that witness that makes us secure in Christ. Do you know Him? It's not enough to know about Him. Oh, you need to know God's Son. You need to know how the Savior in a personal way. You need to know Him, not academically, but experientially. You need to have more than a head knowledge about Him. You need to have a life relationship with Him. And if you don't know Him today, would you come to Him? If you don't know Him right now, why don't you recognize that you're in need of a Savior? And realize that God sent His Son to be such. Oh, listen, He'll satisfy. Hey, He'll sanctify you. He'll complete you. And He'll do it for all of eternity. He's the sacrifice that satisfies. Well, thanks for tuning in. And I pray our time together was a blessing. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDeeBee@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Share.